For those of us joking with Alia, you'll be pleased to know I've got the right notes, so that's good. Lovely. My name is Sam, for those who do not know who I am. I'm the curate here. You're welcome if you have not been to St. Stephen's before. It is good to see you. It's a joy when Christians can gather from whichever part of the world, and even if you're not a Christian, you are welcome to St. Stephen's. I'll be preaching from both readings that we've had this morning, from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and John chapter 17. My theme is unity, and you can see that slide on the screen. I've got various slides, and I won't attend to them as much, though it's sort of be in the background. So if there's something that makes you chuckle a bit as it comes up, that's fine. Just you have permission to laugh. Enjoy it as we go on. So Jesus in John 17 prays. He prays that the church would be one, just as he and the Father are one in the Spirit. When Jesus came into the world, he was born into a world that was full of unfairness, inequality, division, segregation, different status. And he comes, and his prayer, even at the end of his ministry, is for that oneness. I'll help you read that little. So it says, and the church unity workshop has been postponed until the deacons can agree on the date, time, and color of the participants' name tags. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, just slight joke there. Oneness is at the heart of Jesus. In Philippians, we read in Paul's letter, and he moves around different places, Rome, Thessalonica, Philippi, Ephesus, all these different places. His heart is very much like Jesus' heart for unity, for oneness. As it goes around these places, especially we read in 1 Corinthians, there's so much division in the church, not just outside, but in the church itself, in the society. Jesus, when he finishes, is praying for unity, and yet after he leaves, it seems like this unity is starting, but then later we go back to that place of disunity. Love is the foundation of unity. Jesus summarizes the commandments well. He says, love God and love people. Michael Green, a tutor who I loved a lot, said these words. He said, love is the most attractive quality in the world, and it lies at the heart of Christianity. If we all do it, then it means we shall be of one heart and one mind, as the Apostle Paul teaches. If we have that love, then unity becomes a little bit easier. Many times we want to achieve unity. We love the principle, and we love the fruit of unity, but sometimes we're not ready to put the shift in to make it happen. When there's a fallout, how ready are we to say, I am sorry, or I was wrong? I remember one of the lines that stayed with me at our wedding 11 years back. I sat there, and somebody saying these words, he said to me, he said, Sam, if anything you could take away from today, take this, he said. Remember to tell Rachel these words, I was wrong. I didn't smile very much, as you can imagine, but just that's not easy, is it? I was wrong. I'm ashamed to say that most of what I've done for the 11 years has been pointing it the other way to say, you were wrong. In Uganda, where I come from, there are so many examples of diversity. So different tribes, different languages, different cultures, different types of food. Even the landscape itself is very different. You can tell people as soon as you see them, you're from the north or you're from the east, just by the way that they look. It's just in your face. As soon as you see, you go into the country, you see difference all the time. And I'm just thinking of languages. So I want to give you a little exercise. Some of you have been to Open to God might have remembered me do this, but if you haven't, here we go. So here's a word, one, or united, or together. Now in Uganda, in different dialects, you can say the same word in so many different ways. In one language, they might say something like, and I won't invite you to try this. It's okay, you can, but I won't invite you to. So you can say, Mulala, and that is Samia, that's my dad's language. It's the same word, it means one. My mom's language will say, Achiel. Same country. That means one. In Rachel's language, they will say, Omu. That means one. In the southwest, they'll say, Chimwe. One. It's the same country. But how interesting is, and I'm sure if I asked you, what does one sound like in Gaelic, you might give me an example, or in you know, again, there you go, or in Welsh, anybody?
She's not here today.
Or in, what's the other one, in Irish? Same.
Eel.
In Spanish? Uno. Together, united. But talking about different languages, there are some words that wherever you go, you'll still say it in the same way. Alleluia. What's alleluia in Gaelic? Alleluia. What's alleluia in Spanish? Alleluia. In Luganda, in Samia, in Luo. So God has an amazing way of making us different, different personalities, and yet still the same. There's that beauty. And that's the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus. He wants that oneness. According to the Apostle Paul, teaching in the churches, our differences ought to be a strength that the body with many parts complements each other and serves the rest of the body. After all, we are all made in God's image. But sadly, this turns out to be a weakness, doesn't it? That many times those differences become a threat. There's division that's caused. It's the other way around rather than the right way as God desires and calls us to be. Yes, for those who don't know me, I love interaction. So here is one for you. I'm going to invite you to join in. It's a song. Okay, it's easy because it's taken from the liturgy. Though we are many, we are one. Help me out. That's it. Again, though we are many, we are one body. So I'll sing it and then I'll think as I sing whether you're ready to join me. If not, it'll be fine. But here it goes. It says, though we are many, we are one body. We are one body in Christ. Can you try it? One, sing. Though we are many, as loud as you can. We are one body. We are one body in Christ. And again. Though we are many, we are one body. We are one body in Christ. Though we are many, we are one body. In worship, we worship with one voice, with one heart, with one song. Now, listening to us this morning, if somebody's listening in, they can't tell who is singing what there. We all sound like one voice, don't we? That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God for His church. Father, that they may be one, just as you and I are one in the Spirit. In our Bible readings in John 17, Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. As I've said, Jesus arrives and finds a lot of disunity. He finds, for instance, throughout Scripture, so you'll see in Egypt, for instance, there was a superpower there, wasn't there, dominating God's people. Another superpower then arises, Babylon, Rome. Men dominant over women. Women and children overlooked. The rich and the poor. Servants and masters. Religious leaders. Jews and everybody else. Clean and unclean. The law is ruling. What's Jesus' response when he comes? He says, he seeks out the marginalized. Jesus doesn't condemn, but restores. Jesus is an everyday person and yet Messiah. Contrast to the Roman style, isn't it? He says, all have sinned. All, not some, but all have sinned. He restores status to women and children. He restores status to slaves. He touches and heals the unclean, lepers. He heals the Roman centurion's daughter. So there was a barrier of the poor and the rich, and yet Jesus is not just attending to those who are low, but also reaches out to the Roman centurion. And he prays in John 17 for unity for all of us. And Paul does the same. As I come to a close, my mind is taken to Acts. In Acts, as Jesus leaves, so Acts chapter 1 starts with Jesus is ascending to heaven. So as he goes, he leaves his disciples and he says to them, go and be together in one place, doesn't he? And wait. Together, gathered in one place, a bit like this. It's a bit like saying, go to St. Stephen's and wait. I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send the Spirit. Just go and wait together in one mind, in one heart, in one spirit. And maybe as you're gathered together there, be singing, though we are many. This is not scripted. We are one body. And as they do that, as they're together, the Spirit of God comes down. Pentecost, from a place of unity. What a challenge to us. Michael Green also said, he says, it all began with a dozen men and a handful of women, and the Spirit came. They put aside all their class structures and divisions and all those things because their hearts were hungry for God. That was all that mattered when they gathered. What a challenge to us as well. I want to finish by asking you this. If I asked you this morning, do you feel that you belong? What makes you belong? What are the barriers? We are called to live in community, aren't we? How do we love God and love our neighbor? How do we serve one another? Because that's what we're called to do. This slide says, a great marriage is not when the perfect couple comes together, it is when an imperfect couple learns to enjoy their indifferences. They don't change. Rachel and I haven't become Rachel and she hasn't become me, but slowly you learn to live together, don't you? And that's what we do together like this in church. If somebody comes as a teacher, another one comes different professions, and we gather together here, and as we walk through the door, those things fade away because Jesus is at the center. So if this morning you don't feel like you belong, I want to say to you, Jesus invites you. He says, come to me just as you are. There is a place for you. It doesn't matter what your story is and what you've done. He doesn't condemn. He invites all.